We'll speak now to the UKIP MP, Douglas Carswell, who's in Westminster for us. Good afternoon to you.
Hi there.
What do you think our moral imperative, our duty is on this?
I do think we have a moral duty to act. Some of the images that we see are truly heartbreaking. And for every image that we see, there have been thousands of people who've drowned and the cameras weren't there. So I do think we have a duty to act. The first thing I think we need to do is recognize that in order to stop the horror, we need to stop the boats. And I think we need to look at what Australia has done to make sure that the sort of humanitarian catastrophe that's now happening in the Mediterranean that we put an end to it. But I think we also need to recognize that there are genuine asylum seekers, particularly from Syria. If we had democratic control of our own immigration policy, it would be perfectly possible for us to cut the number of immigrants coming into this country every year. 636,000 people came in last year. We could cut that, and at the same time, we could make more room for genuine refugees and asylum seekers.
But you're not going to do that by just stopping the boats. To say stop the boats is a catch-all phrase that means the refugees get caught at the very first moment, and we've just seen how vulnerable they are.
It doesn't. It means that, like in Australia, there have been no illegal boats landing for 17 months. And as a result of that, none of the tragedies that are now all too commonplace in the Mediterranean. By not stopping the boats, we will get more of these horrific tragedies unfolding.
But aren't you underestimating the scale of this problem? This is the biggest refugee crisis since the Second World War. Australia has never seen anything like this.
Well, Australia has reduced the number of people travelling on boats to Australia because people trying to get to Australia are not automatically allowed into Australia. They're processed, and those needing asylum are given asylum. And if we were to adopt a similar approach to Australia, I think we could stop the boats and stop the humanitarian tragedy.
Aren't you underestimating the desperation of these people? Surely, the image of one of your own three-year-olds or five-year-olds washed up on a beach, if that's not going to deter you from making that journey, knowing that there are boats off the coast isn't going to either.
Well, what Europe is doing without realizing it is contracting out its asylum policy to people smugglers. And I'm sure you wouldn't want that. I'm sure you would recognize that if we're to do our duty and to allow persecuted minorities from Syria and elsewhere safe refuge in this country, and I've made it clear that I think we have an obligation to do that, then we should be working with organizations like perhaps the UNHCR, with non-governmental organizations in Turkey who actually work with people in camps and who are able to identify people who need asylum. Let's do that rather than allowing people smugglers to, in effect, decide who does and who doesn't get asylum.
You say that the UK should be doing more for asylum seekers, genuine refugees. How many should Britain be taking?
One of the things that I feel very strongly is that, like Australia, we should have democratic control over it. So allow Parliament to annually decide on the figure. There's no point in me or Yvette Cooper or anyone else banding around figures. Let's look at the number of minorities in Syria who need help. Let's look at what we can accommodate in this country, what the impact on public services might be, and have the House of Commons agree on a figure so that we can take pride in the action that we take as a country to offer refuge and asylum.
Can you bring
if I may just say so, at the moment we have a political system where, because there's no democratic control, people are looking at the crisis and people are not recognizing that there is a genuine need for us to take action because they're so terrified of the resentment of voters. If we had democratic control, we could have a mature debate and take pride in doing more to help people who genuinely need help.
But this plays to your political narrative, but what about the emotional side of this? The reaction that, if you look at Twitter now, people are saying, I would open my home. People are saying we must demonstrate in Parliament Square. We need to do something now. We do not need politicians to try and discuss where we go with this. We need to do something now on a human level. Where's the humanity?
Well, I hope that you listen to what I've said in my answers and not come with a prearranged script of questions that you're going to throw at me, and recognize from the very first moment that I started answering your questions, I recognised that there is a humanitarian crisis and there is a moral duty for us to act. I hope you'd also give me some credit in saying that I think there is an opportunity for us to work together to get political consensus on this. That will never happen if we remain in the European Union and are unable to determine for ourselves our own immigration policy.
Peter Buttigieg, a former parliamentary candidate for your party, has, on an unverified account, and we can't verify this, has been tweeting about this. Are you aware of the tweets that have come out from him?
No, I'm not, but I am aware that some people sometimes say some pretty obnoxious things on social media, and if a UKIP candidate were to do that, they would, I hope, be made an ex-UKIP candidate and slung out of the party.
Well, we're just showing this. The little Syrian boy was well-clothed and well-fed. He died because his parents were greedy for the good life in Europe. Cue jumping costs. And another tweet that people will find pretty offensive. If it is him, what should the party do?
It's a pretty grotesque and awful thing to say. I think most reasonable people who saw that image would recognise that we have a duty, as I've consistently said in this interview, we have a duty to act. The question is, what can we do to ensure that we, yes, control immigration into this country, reduce the overall immigration, but make room for people who genuinely need asylum?
You see, my problem is, as I said earlier, this plays into the immigration narrative, but we are talking about asylum seekers. We're talking about people who are fleeing for their lives.
Your problem seems to be that you're not actually taking on board what I'm saying. I'm recognising that there is an obligation for us to act. Incidentally, it would be helpful in terms of taking action if we had a government that had a foreign policy. This has been going on now, not just for months, but the tragedy has been happening in Syria for years. If we had a government that had a foreign policy, at some moment perhaps the Foreign Secretary might have flown to Ankara to discuss what it was that the international community could do. It's that failure to have a coherent foreign policy and a strategy to deal with this that means we see the horrific images that we do today. It's absolutely right and proper that people recognise that this is a humanitarian disaster. It's right and proper that we recognise we should do more. But we need to recognise that if we want to stop this sort of horror, we need to take action to stop the boats too.
What does David Cameron do now? The crisis is upon us. Europe is in chaos in terms of taking that unified approach you describe. But what should David Cameron do now for those genuine asylum seekers who have fled their countries with their families and very little possession? What should Britain do now?
I think there's a very strong case for working with the UNHCR and other NGOs in Turkey, as I've explained, who have offered sanctuary to minorities, persecuted minorities in Syria, and for us to work with those agencies and to work out how many people we can offer refuge and asylum to. I think it's important, though, that we make sure that we are deciding who gets refuge and we're not contracting that out to people smugglers.
And there should be a limit on that number or not?
Parliament should decide on that number. There will be some people like Yvette Cooper, she's opened the bidding at 10,000.
Open the bidding? Like you really say that?
Sorry?
Did you really use the phrase open the bidding? This is the problem with this. The language surrounding this is so emotive and careless words upset people.
I'm not sure that in a parliamentary democracy where the House of Commons would decide the figure annually, which is what I'm advocating, you should take umbrage with me talking about somebody opening the bidding. I'm very comfortable with the use of that language, and I think you taking umbrage perhaps reflects more on you than it does on the crisis.
Well, I would rather hope so, because I think the idea of bidding for the number of people fleeing a country for their lives, I find abhorrent. I'm surprised you don't.
Well, we live in a system where Parliament should, I think, have the final say over how many people are given asylum. If we did that, then I think we could come to a reasonable collective decision and, as I've tried to emphasise, take pride in the fact that we're doing something to offer people asylum. If we carry on with the situation we have at the moment, last year the government only offered refuge to, I think, 184 Syrian refugees. We will clearly not be doing anything to help the problem, but we won't actually be reducing net immigration into this country either. It's perfectly possible for us to reduce net immigration into this country and at the same time offer genuine refuge to people who quite rightly need protection.
Douglas Carswell, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.